Welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Natalie Cutler, National Leader of the Retail and Consumer Products Industry Group at BDO. In an environment where finance teams are under constant pressure to move fast and act on trust, a new threat is quietly exploding that speed. Deepfakes are no longer a hypothetical risk. They're already influencing payment decisions, approvals, and financial controls across many organizations. In today's episode, we are joined by Joe Kiefer, Director of Cybersecurity here at BDO. And Joe's going to help us dig into how deepfake technology is changing the fraud landscape for finance leaders, where organizations are most exposed, and what CFOs can do right now to reduce risk before trust is weaponized against them. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Joe, so first off, I just wanted to say how excited we are to have you. Your background is quite unique, and perhaps you could give us a little bit about your background so our listeners understand the experience that you're bringing to the table on this topic.
Sure thing. I appreciate that. It's great to be with BDO. Before joining BDO, and I started in the fall of 2025 with BDO, before that I spent 22 and a half years with the U.S. Secret Service. Most of my career with Secret Service was investigating a wide variety of fraud. The last 9 years of my career was spent investigating specifically cyber fraud. So we're talking business email compromise, network intrusion, ransomware, and business email compromise. Also anything related to cryptocurrency. The last 3 years of my career, I spent supervising the cyber task force in the Chicago field office of the Secret Service. So I oversaw all of the cyber investigations that we had in the field office. I oversaw our forensics lab, and I coordinated the public-facing cyber fraud task force, which is a long-standing group of cyber leaders in Chicago. And I'd coordinate quarterly meetings for that group, and we'd get together for networking and education. So I'd find some speakers to come in and talk about current cyber issues. And before all of that, I was an attorney briefly out in San Francisco. So it's been 25 years or so of professional work, and now here I am with BDO.
Well, sounds like you definitely have the right background for this episode. Just, I know we've talked about deepfakes in the past, but it's becoming common in our vernacular. But maybe you can provide a quick overview of what is a deepfake, you know, so our listeners can get a really good sense as to what that is.
So deepfakes is impersonation in one of three ways. Number one, voice replication. Number two, generation of an image using someone's likeness, or generation of a video using someone's likeness. And by and large, we're talking voice replication and video generation, by and large.
So where do you see leaders underestimating the threat because they think that IT is really a cybersecurity issue, which I don't think it is, and I'd love to hear your insights on that.
So it is a cyber issue, for sure, but it's also a business issue. I would argue that all cybersecurity issues are business issues, but this is underestimated in impact for how deepfakes are used, in my experience. They're used in two main ways. Number one, to deteriorate the trust that customers have in a particular company. And number two, to straight up commit fraud. It's being used to fraudulently obtain money from victim companies done through impersonation. And it's impacting businesses of all shapes and sizes. I've seen very large amounts in the millions of dollars be fraudulently transferred. And I've also seen transactions in the hundreds of dollars due to a deep fake impacting a small business. And for a mom and pop business, you know, that has a real impact. So it's widespread, impacting everybody, unfortunately.
Yeah, so I guess my next question is, and I agree with you, I mean, it definitely is impacting anyone and everyone. No one is really safe from this. But how are they accessing our voices, our intonations? You know, how are they getting so good at this to fool people? Is it focused on people that are in media? How are they accessing the persona of the person that they're deepfaking?
Unfortunately, it's very easy. You know, we now live in an age where online media is very prominent. So voice and video are both widely available on social media, company and third-party websites, and even mainstream media, depending on the individual who's delivering the commentary. These samples, even if it's just a very small and brief sample, you know, that's enough. And in some cases, the source of the media sample is unknown. So, for instance, you could receive a phone call from a cyber criminal impersonating someone else just to talk to you, just to get your voice sample. And so sometimes it's not exactly clear where that came from.
That's really scary and crazy all at the same time. But maybe, you know, you can shed some light on how often is this exploitation tied to impersonating an executive authority versus, say, an external partner like a bank or vendors? I mean, we've seen emails like that, but how often does that happen with deepfakes?
So it's hard to give a percentage, but both situations occur commonly. You know, if you're talking to somebody who is in a business, they run the risk. And let's say we're talking to somebody who is in charge of providing payments to third parties. They run the risk of receiving a deep fake from either an executive or somebody in their supply chain. And, you know, both situations could lead to fraudulently transferred money, period. Anytime, you know, you're sending money outside of your business, you've got at least three parties involved. You've got you and your company, you've got your bank, and you've got the receiving business of your money. And that's assuming, you know, a clean business-to-business transfer and both businesses use the same bank. You start adding in subsidiaries, additional banks. You know, all of these are potential sources for impersonation in order to facilitate the fraudulent transfer of money. So not only could an impersonation come from inside of your own company, from someone, from an executive directing an individual who's in charge of payments to make a fraudulent payment, not only could it come from the inside, but it certainly could come from the outside, somebody impersonating the receiving company, providing something simple as a change in bank instructions. Hey, now we've got a new bank account. Send our monthly payment to this new account. And, you know, commonly that happens via email, but now it happens via voicemail.
Yeah, you know what? I participated in some training probably about a month ago. We did some training for a client where the presenter was in deep fake mode, and I didn't know that. And then he started giving away different hints and things to look out for when, so you could tell if there's a deep fake. So keeping that in mind, are there any particular moments, say, of vulnerability? Like, is there a time where people should be more alert, like quarter end, M&A activity, leadership changes, maybe a good one, when finance teams perhaps are more exposed?
Yes. Anytime you have a change, particularly if that change is announced publicly, you know, that is a very vulnerable time where now you've got personnel who are introduced into a company, new leaders arrive with new communication preferences. Sometimes businesses change names, they change email domains. These are all times when impersonation has succeeded and mistakes can be made. Not only do you need to keep up with your own company and how your own company conducts wire transfers and conducts day-to-day business, but you also have to keep up with your supply chain and keep up with the other companies that you deal with and keep up with their changes as well. They need to be monitored and deconflicted when they occur too.
So a CFO, a finance person, high-level finance person, asked you for three immediate actions to reduce exposure to deepfake fraud. What would you tell them? What would you prioritize?
Well, number one is governance. You know, policy development for official communication, so how that is done, and thorough governance for monetary transfers, particularly having granular multi-factor authentication policy to avoid a deepfake attack. Second, I would prioritize workforce training. Ask yourself if the current cyber training is sufficient. And if it isn't, supplement. Provide additional training for those in particular position to conduct monetary transactions. And last, you know, it takes discipline to abide by these policies that you're enacting. So that is a real thing. That takes a forward-leaning security mindset and the consistent assumption that you are targeted. And last, capable of making mistakes themselves. So governance, training, and discipline throughout are the three things that I would recommend.
Terrific. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for helping us break down a threat that's evolving faster than many organizations even realize. Deepfake fraud doesn't rely on breaking systems. It relies on exploiting trust. And as Joe shared, reducing exposure isn't about a single tool or a single policy change, but it's about governance, awareness, and disciplined decision-making across the finance function. Thank you for tuning in. And if this episode resonated, be sure to add us to your podcast library. And until next time, stay vigilant.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail Podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.